Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
So it's time for yet another exciting edition of The Thought Police. And guess what? If you listened to us last week, you'll have remembered that Kevin O'Sullivan, who's sitting here with me, was eating a fucking sandwich. Well, he's doing it again.
And the week before.
And the week before. It's becoming a fucking habit, this. I mean, unbelievable.
I'm fucking hungry.
I mean, do you always have a sandwich every day, then? Is that what you have?
Every day, but on Tuesdays, I have a lot to do.
All right. Well, so when you're not busy, you're not hungry, is that what you're telling me?
No, well, I fucking don't have time to sit down and eat properly, so I eat sandwiches.
Mm, okay. Well, it's not easy. I mean, I must admit, when I get to about the third hour of the show, I'm always very conscious of my stomach rumbling because I can't eat before the show. I just spit stuff everywhere. We used to, when I used to do the overnight show, we used to go send out for kebabs.
And eat them in the studio.
And eat them. Well, you couldn't take them into the studio. You'd have to, I had to run in and out of the fucking ops room. And you'd just take a big mouthful of kebab and go back in, you know, during an ad break. It was fucking hilarious.
Have you done that bit where I try to stay away from food when you're on air, but sometimes you're hungry. And that bit where I've actually had a bit where you're about to have to say something, you've got a fucking mouthful of sandwich.
Yeah.
You have to scrape it out of your mouth.
And you literally, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I know. There's nothing worse.
Disgusting.
It is pretty disgusting. These are the sorts of things that people don't understand that we have to put up with. But let's talk about free speech because it's something we talk about a lot, both on your show and on my show and on this show. Because it's been in the news lately. Spotify, Joe Rogan, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, all of that.
Jimmy Carr.
Also, what about that bloke Lee, somebody who was Stuart Lee, was it?
Well, he pulled himself off Spotify as well. So on the Spotify,
I put a tweet out about him because I genuinely never heard of him, right?
Apparently
he's quite well known, but he's a bit of a lefty, so he's very well known.
And you'll be shocked to hear he writes a column for The Guardian.
Oh, there you go. So lots of people were like, oh, it says more about you that you've never heard of him. I'm like, well, it doesn't actually. It means I've never fucking heard of him.
Yeah, he's just a fucking lefty.
Fuck him anyway.
But the point is, so you've got Joe Rogan in America, or actually around the world, on Spotify. They signed him up for millions and millions of dollars. Because it is the most listened to podcast in all the world.
Yeah.
Now, Neil Young and Joni Mitchell, you got all furious because they accused Joe Rogan of spreading misinformation. Mm. Now, what they actually mean is he had two doctors, his guests, on his podcast, and they said things with which Joni and Neil disagreed,
right.
So they want them cancelled. They want Joe Rogan off Spotify because he is spreading opinions that Joan and Neil do not agree with.
Yeah.
And by the way, fucking Joni Mitchell and fucking Neil Young, what is the basis for their medical expertise?
Well, they don't have any.
They say, you're spreading misinformation about the vaccine. How the fuck do you know? You're a pop singer.
Well, exactly right. And one of the things that was used as a justification for their being upset was that they had both suffered from polio or something when they were kids, which many people did many years ago before there was a proper vaccine. Yeah. And so somehow, because they were cured of polio by the vaccine, they're now experts on vaccinations, which is a bit like saying, because you used to drive a Model T Ford, you now know how a fucking modern Jaguar works. Well, you fucking don't, actually.
Well, yeah, exactly. And of course, the polio vaccine, which, if I remember rightly, is just a drop on a sugar cube.
Yeah.
And you swallow it and right. you get lifelong.
Well, that was like a polio booster. We used to get those at school, didn't we?
That protected you from polio right. for life.
Right.
That's all it is. You don't even need an injection.
Right.
It's a brilliant vaccine. But these cunts, they're saying all vaccines are amazing.
Yes.
Well, the thing about the COVID...
Well, all vaccines are not amazing, clearly.
The thing about the COVID vaccine is in the league table of vaccines, it's fucking bottom of the league. It's a piece of shit. Lasts about 8 weeks.
Careful, you might get thrown off Spotify for saying that kind of thing. You know, we are on Spotify, by the way, for anybody who's listening to us on another platform. No, so I'm very pleased to say that Spotify just went to Neil Young. Yeah, okay, see you, mate. Yeah. Bye. Cheerio. Yeah. Fuck off.
I'm not saying that, by the way, just to clarify, I'm not saying that the fucking COVID vaccine doesn't work.
No.
It did help stop the spread of the virus. It helped us pretty much defeat it here in England. And it is going fairly good guns around the world. But you ask anybody in the medical profession, and they'll say that in terms of it, the length of its efficacy,
yes.
it's a great disappointment.
Right. Well, also, the point is that generally speaking, vaccination is something that supposedly stops you from getting a disease, right? What we know about the vaccination in this case is that it doesn't stop you getting it. It might stop you getting a more severe version of it, but it doesn't stop you getting it. Whereas if you take the polio vaccine, should you need to, it means you don't get it.
So some
right?
vaccines are terrific. Right. The MMR vaccine is a good vaccine for measles and mumps and
yeah.
all that. But the COVID vaccine, it's not that it doesn't work.
Right.
It does work.
Mm.
And it did help us defeat that, COVID pretty much in England.
Yeah.
In Scotland and... Wales, they're demanding to say that they're still fighting the good fight, even though...
What the fuck is wrong with them?
Oh, they're fucking idiots.
I mean, Drakeford, fuck me. What an absolute maniac.
As I say, for Neil Young, the likes of Neil Young and Joni Mitchell to say, you know, this vaccine is wonderful. It's okay, but... The booster, for example, they think if you've had two vaccinations...
And you've had COVID.
They reckon the booster lasts about 8 weeks.
Mm. Well, so... A lot of people are not taking the booster as well because they don't feel necessarily that that's the right way to go. And an awful lot of people as well who have had the disease say, well, I've got natural immunity and there's no reason not to say that. But anyway, even if all of those things were not true and even if all of the podcasts that you listen to were exactly the same, you know, what's wrong with somebody actually discussing it? What's wrong with people going, actually, maybe here's another way of looking at it?
And what happened to scepticism about government?
Yeah, we're supposed to swallow all this stuff.
Government propaganda, yeah.
I mean, we were just talking the other week, weren't we, about how it's now been admitted by a lot of these behavioural scientists that a lot of what they said was not actually necessarily true, but it was designed to make you want to get the vaccine. So we've now admitted that.
So these great former 60s revolutionary counterculturists.
Right. Apparently Neil Young's a right cunt, by
Neil
the way.
Neil Young and...
David Crosby said that.
Joni Mitchell. Yeah, he's very difficult.
Yeah, he said he was one of the most selfish fuckers that he'd ever met.
But you know, these used to be leaders of the counterculture, the revolution against the authorities.
Right.
And now they're saying, you must obey the government and have your government injection.
Yeah. He also, do you remember seeing that quote they drummed up as well about the AIDS crisis, where apparently Neil Young said at one point in an interview, if you've got some guy serving you at the supermarket with AIDS, you don't want him touching your fucking fruit and vegetables.
Well,
you know, so he wasn't exactly, he didn't come out as Mr. fucking tolerant in the AIDS crisis.
And he also advocated voting for Ronald Reagan.
Oh, he did. Well, he was amongst those who, him and Willie Nelson organised that thing called Farm Aid, which was done after Live Aid. But it was a very much a Republican-led story because the farmers were basically all Republicans. Yeah. And they were doing a fundraiser for them because they were getting fucked over by the government.
But in America, this vaccine orthodoxy is like a religion.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Penn went on the television to say that every American must be vaccinated by law, mandatory.
Fucking idiot. He's lost the plot, Sean Penn.
Loads of them think that.
No, I know. They think, well, in their words, liberal means Democrat, though, doesn't it? It doesn't mean liberal.
Yeah, but that's what they think. That's the left-leaning viewpoint, is to get vaccinated. And if you don't like the idea of being vaccinated, you're a fucking anti-vaxxer, right-wing.
Absolutely. Trumpian. Yeah. Right. But this is the problem. But we've got the same problem in this country. I mean, everyone here is the same. You know, if you're not vaccinated or if you don't wear a mask, you're some kind of anti-fucking Christ if you're in the wrong room. I don't understand why people have got like that.
Well, then you've got those marches, freedom marches.
Yeah.
There were several around the country, only about 2-3 weeks. Where?
The ones in this country, you mean?
200,000 people in London.
Yeah.
There was in Newcastle, Manchester, Leeds. and what very little coverage they got in the media.
Yeah.
Anti-vaxxers got them off. 200,000, they're not anti-vaxxers.
No, of course not.
Of them aren't anti-vaxxers.
A lot of them are actually vaccinated.
They're anti-fucking COVID restrictions.
Right.
They're anti-
and also, an awful lot of them, if you remember, because they placed all their uniforms, didn't they, down on the ground outside of Downing Street, they're all fucking nurses
and
doctors.
And doctors, loads of doctors.
Working in the NHS.
Doctors that we know.
Work. Right. And you just kind of go, you know, that's entirely down to them. It's entirely their choice. What the fuck is the problem here? But the only thing that slightly bothers me about Spotify is that they've apparently now done away with about 100 episodes of Joe Rogan's podcast, which it's suggested are the ones which are perhaps the most controversial.
Starting to buckle a bit. And they're also, he used to use the N-word a lot, so
did he?
Getting attacked for that.
Right.
Well.
Well, I think he did it once, didn't he? But he used it in a way which was in a kind of context.
Well, his background is he was a sports
broadcaster. Yeah, but was he not also, well, I haven't heard him saying it, but I'm told
there's
that...
quite a few... N-word.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's face it, that's a word which an awful lot. No, but it's a word.
Insult.
No, but I mean, have you heard any rap music lately? I mean, that is a word which is
well,
very much.
That's what he said.
Yeah, well, it's very much in common usage in America, for sure, by all sorts of people. But they will claim that, you know, they've reclaimed the word because they're people of colour. But you can't say it because you're white. I mean, there's a bit of a double standard there,
so
isn't it?
So Spotify are a Swedish firm, aren't they?
Well, apparently they're based in Sweden. I don't know if they actually are Swedish.
Notionally.
Yeah, I mean, in the same way that U2 used to be based
Netflix
in the Netherlands.
Is Dutch, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the Netherlands is a place where a lot of people base their company because I think they've got a favourable tax regime. Because U2 used to be based in fucking Amsterdam, I think, before they decided that Ireland was a better bet.
Yeah. But Spotify, to their credit so far, they stood by Joe Rogan, but they are clearly quaking a lot because it has affected their share price.
Well, as somebody pointed out, you know, it's all very well when Neil Young and Joni Mitchell say we're not going to fucking play, but what if it was somebody like Taylor Swift, who's worth a lot of money to them? What do they do then? And that's when you see whether or not they've actually got the balls to fucking back Joe Rogan.
Cance, Harry and Meghan, they're not reneging on their 18...
Well, you know, we should probably get Aaron to go and help them out with the production of that podcast of theirs, because they're only doing fucking one a year.
Done,
guys. I mean, you're fucking absolute wankers. But, you know, it will be a much more interesting scenario if somebody who sells a fortune for them actually says, you know what, you're going to have to stop fucking with Joe Rogan.
But the essence of this round is people... like Neil Young and Joni Mitchell, and by the way, what a body blow it must have been to Spotify when Stuart Lee was taking his material.
I mean, he's a fucking comedian, isn't he?
Yeah,
who gives a fuck?
Well, allegedly.
Right.
What they're saying is they want people who say things with whom they disagree to be cancelled.
Yes.
To have their livelihoods ruined.
Right.
Fascistic. And anti-liberal and anti-free speech. So over here, I mean, although Netflix is a Dutch company, we've got Jimmy Carr.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carr, who, of course, recently was in big trouble for that joke he made during his live tour.
Yes, about the Holocaust.
The Holocaust, right. And the number of gypsies that were...
And then it wasn't a recording that he was making.
No, it was a recording of his live show.
Right.
And it was called His Dark Material.
Yes.
So it does what it says on the tin.
Right.
Of course, everybody wanted him cancelled for that joke.
Mm.
And Netflix, to their credit, stood by him. But
he himself has even said he thinks that this is going to be the end.
That
he thinks it's going to cancel his career.
But I think it's quite a bold stat. I think there's a two-pronged thing he's done.
Mm.
He's very, very cleverly promoted his Dark Material, which is available now.
Do you see that wanker Philip Pullman has said that he wants him to change the name of it because, you know, he's the guy that writes His Dark Material.
That's a different word, Phil.
Yeah, I know. But the point is Phil is another virtue signalling twat. He's the guy who wanted to see Boris Johnson lynched, right?
Yeah. Go fuck yourself, mate.
Yeah.
Yours is in the plural. Jimmy's in the, the singular.
Exactly right.
Nothing you can do
about it. No, you can't change it.
You know, the question about that joke is, I can't make a joke about the Holocaust and all that. You know, I completely sympathise with that viewpoint, and you might say that joke was very inappropriate. A lot of people might find it very offensive, very upsetting, and certainly it must have been hurtful to the gypsy traveller community. So you might say, well, he should never have made that joke. Okay, fine.
It's in bad taste, no question.
Okay, fine. So you cancel him, but don't tell me to fucking don't cancel him. Generally, you know, he got up, he told a joke, And millions of people think for that he should be cancelled. He should have his career taken away from him. He should have his life ruined because he made one joke that you don't like. Fuck off.
No, exactly right. I mean, I suppose the difficulty with all of this stuff is how extreme would you let it go? For example, I thought about this the other day. You know, Cabaret, the movie with Liza Minnelli, which is from the Christopher Isherwood play. It's a great story, all about, you know, I'm a camera, and it's all about the Nazis and how they grew in Berlin and how they became the horrible fucking force of evil that they then later became. But, you know, there's some jokes in that, you know, when Joel Grey is the sort of, you know, is the compere, and they do these songs about Jewish people and they make fun of them, and you think to yourself, it's quite uncomfortable watching, right? And you would say to somebody who was maybe making those kinds of jokes or putting that kind of show on in this day and age, would you really want that to be going out there? The answer obviously has to be yes. You'd have to let it go. But at what point would you say that actually, if you're playing, say, for example, to an audience of absolute fucking anti-Semites and you're making anti-Semitic jokes constantly and that's why people are going to see the show, I know that's a very different thing from what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But at what point do you say, do you know what? I don't think you can do that.
It's a difficult area.
However, isn't it?
However, I'm against regulation. I'm against regulating entertainment.
Me too.
I think basically anybody or stand-up comedians should be able to make a joke about anything they fucking want.
Yeah.
And if the public decide that's disgusting and disgraceful, then they can make up their own mind.
And they won't be doing another tour because nobody will...
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
We don't need regulators to treat us like children and to make this decision on our behalf of what we can and cannot watch.
But then that's an argument, is it not, for not having any regulation?
Well, yeah, it is.
So you wouldn't you wouldn't have the British Board of Film Censors, you wouldn't have any kind of regulation of the airwaves, you would just let anybody do...
I wouldn't mind the film censors to decide what is the appropriate age.
Right.
But in terms of maybe banning material, that's up to me, not up to them. Well, I'm not a fucking kid.
Yeah.
And the head of the current head of Ofcom.
But say for example,
her name is Melanie Dawes. Melanie Dawes. She's been saying in response to the Jimmy Carr situation, "Oh, I'd love to be able to regulate Netflix." And therefore she could stop us.
Well, they'd love to be able to regulate YouTube as well.
Fuck that. What do you think we are, 7 years?
I know, that is the problem.
This country, Britain, is obsessed with regulation. Yeah. You know, Ofcom's, in my
view... big government has taken over, and it's not a good thing, in my view. Yeah. But here's the other problem, though. To go back to my earlier analogy about, you know, if something is so offensive as to cause not just offence to people, but also maybe to encourage people to be violent against other people. And that's again taking us back to that incident the other week about, you know, Keir Starmer when he gets supposedly swamped and mobbed by these people. Was that as a result of something Boris Johnson said? I don't think it was. But if you were having an anti-Semitic sort of, you know, show that was going up and down the country and it was attracting people who were anti-Semitic, you might at that point go, do you know what? We're not going to put that on. And that does happen already in some venues where they'll say, to maybe next time Jimmy Carr wants to play there, they might say, we don't want to put you on.
That's the mass market forces. I'm all for it. You know, as I say, we can make up our own mind about Jimmy Carr. And by the way, a lot of people say, it's not funny. That joke's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not funny. Well, did you hear the response of the audience
when
he made it? They pissed themselves.
They thought it was funny. So, also, if you go to see Jimmy Carr, you know that he's going to be saying something pretty offensive. Yeah. That's what he does.
And you know, do people really think that he thinks that the extermination of hundreds of thousands of gypsy travellers by the Nazi war machine was a good thing?
Right.
Of course he does.
No, he doesn't.
Of course he does.
No, but it's a very sort of clever joke, which does offend a lot of people, offends. But is it also interesting that he's done it that way round? Because as somebody also said, you wouldn't make that joke necessarily about black people. You wouldn't make that joke about Muslims. You wouldn't make that joke about other people who were murdered by the Nazis, would you?
Disabled
people. What would happen if you did? Do you think, I mean, he possibly chose the group?
I don't think he would shy away from it.
Hmm.
He's testing the waters.
I think he would. I think you'd be in a lot more trouble if you said that was something about people's skin colour or ethnicity rather than just being Jewish or being a gypsy.
Well, probably, but again, I mean, you know, I'm not saying I approve of this.
No.
But you should be able to make whatever fucking joke you want.
Hmm.
And then if it's appalling and disgusting and distasteful and upsetting, then people can make up their own.
I'm quite never, surprised.
Never buy your material again. Don't want someone else deciding what I can and cannot watch.
Yeah.
And what I should and should not find funny.
And what? Fuck yeah. No, I get that. No, I get that. And I think that's
we're infantilized as a nation.
Yes. No, we totally are. We totally are. We'll come back to that in a minute. I just want to tell you about another offer that people can get their hands on for listening to The Thought Police. It's a one-off trial offer, and it's from Harrys.com, which is, of course, a shaving company, right? And it's all about travel-sized shaving. What you're going to get on this one-off trial offer is an expertly engineered shaving handle, 1 5-blade cartridge, shave gel, and shower gel. Basically, they'll send it to you for free. All you got to do is pay £3.95 for a delivery charge. And what you got to do is go to Harrys.com/thoughtpolice. And it's good stuff, this, as well, because we've used it in the past, and the shaving experience is actually pretty good.
Yes,
let's talk some more, though, about free speech, because in the end, free speech is only
under threat.
It is definitely under threat. But isn't it also kind of insidious that it's all part of this conversation about virtue signalling and lefties versus right-wingers, and if you're right-wing, apparently you're a cunt and you're a bastard and you don't care about anybody else, and that's why you don't wear a mask, and that's why you voted for Brexit, and that's why you're a fucking racist bigot, right? And that's the narrative that these people are coming from.
These cunts, they go to a... You and your libertarian views. As if being libertarian is terrible.
Right.
What we're for. This is my politics are just this.
Mm.
That I stand for the power of the individual over the power of the state.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Unlike the people in Wales who, according to Mark Drakeford, don't stand for that. But he says that they stand in Wales for collective responsibility.
Which is
not for individuality.
The subjugation of the individual to the needs of the state.
Yes.
That's the left-wing view.
But also, it's not only to the needs of the community such as the community sees fit. It's for the needs of the community as for the politicians that see fit. To fucking do it in their own image. It's fucking disgraceful what's going on.
Yeah. It's based on bollocks Marxism and communism that's never worked anywhere. And yet morons like Drakeford and Sturgeon and Corbyn still believe the Marxist dream is out there somewhere. Right.
Well, I mean,
it doesn't fucking work.
The great thing about old Jeremy Corbyn, he's not even the nuttiest fucking Corbyn, is he? Because when you fucking look at his brother, who used to come in here, actually, he used to do stuff with us. Because we used to think he was quite an interesting character on the subject of climate change, but he's totally gone over the fucking edge now, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's
but even he's got the right to say what he says.
Of course he
has. As fucking crazy as he is.
Talking about free speech, you know, earlier, you know, people like to denigrate all protesters, everybody who protests against COVID restrictions and lockdowns, etc.
Dangerous people.
No, anti-vaxxers. That's not true. You know, that. So, for example, the 200,000 people who marched through London a few weeks back, vast majority of them were not anti-vaxxers. Those fucking nurses who laid down their uniforms in Trafalgar Square were not anti-vaxxers.
No, of course not.
The doctors who were there were not anti-vaxxers. Mm. So it's the minority are anti-vaxxers. But even given that, there's nothing illegal or essentially wrong about being an anti-vaxxer. If that's what you think, you have the right to that opinion, and you have the right to fucking say what you think. And yet these people are treated as being...
I mean, I would take the same view that I take about everything, which is, yes, it's a personal choice. However, don't go around telling other people what to do. And I would say that goes for government ministers as it does for people who are against the vaccination. Why do you have to tell everybody else what to fucking do? It's like people... I mean, I don't particularly like seeing people wearing masks, but I'm not going to go up to somebody and go, take your fucking mask off, because that's not, you know, it's not what we do.
Let's start doing that.
Yeah, take your fucking
take
mask
your
off.
Fucking mask.
Well, there are some people who do that.
And then they take it off. Oh, you ugly bastard.
Put it back on. Get a fucking mask on. But, I mean, but the fact is, there are people who walk around, if they see somebody with a mask on, they go, take your fucking mask off. What are you doing? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
I can't believe how many people are still wearing them, to be honest.
So I was having a debate with someone on Facebook the other day.
Yeah.
I said,
I wouldn't bother my arse having debates on Facebook. Oh, fucking waste of time.
That was only a small extent.
Yeah.
She said, oh, I'm still wearing a mask. And I said, sure, why not? But there's no scientific evidence to say that they work.
No.
And she goes, I know, but at the moment I'm prepared to give them the benefit of the doubt. What the fuck
Why?
Does that mean?
Why?
Isn't it, you know,
what, so you can walk around breathing in the wrong...
There's no evidence they work yet. I think maybe they might work.
But even if they don't work, I'd rather keep it on because it means that it looks like I care. That's really what they're saying. Talking of caring, the Oscar nominations came in recently for 2022.
Who's up for it?
Well, they've got they're saying it's Belfast versus Benedict Cumberbatch. Belfast actually sounds quite interesting to me, but it might be a bit too heavy.
Somebody I know said it was the most boring fucking film they've ever seen in their life.
What, Belfast?
And when you get
which is hard to do because Belfast's quite an interesting place. I've always thought.
Not when Kenneth Branagh was in it. But they every broadsheet critic called it a masterpiece.
Yeah.
When they start talking about masterpieces, I guarantee you.
That means nobody's seeing it.
Fall asleep.
That means nobody's watching
it,
right?
So
the big films this year, apparently, Belfast, The Power of the Dog.
Fucking piece of shit.
Which is fucking Benedict Cumberbatch, and Dune, which is a remake of that original film that Sting was in, wasn't he? Wasn't he in Dune?
Oh yeah, Dune. I don't know if it's a remake. Is it,
or maybe it's about something else?
Came and went.
So 23 categories, it was all announced in Los Angeles, it's happening in March. But the point is, right, 12 nominations for Power of the Dog, including Best Picture, Leading Actor for Benedict Cumberbatch, Supporting Actress for Kirsten Dunst, and the Best Director for Jane Campion. It's all the same fucking people.
It's so boring.
It's turning into the BBC now, the Oscars, isn't it?
It's so boring.
Yeah.
So you've got that. So no one will fucking give a rat's ass. The audience for the TV audience for the Oscars last year was like kind of through the fucking floor.
Yeah.
Nobody watched it because they've lost all track.
I started.
Drama, of, you know, what's fascinating to people. Their films are now just kind of homages to wokery.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. So Hollywood is killing itself.
Yeah.
By deciding.
Well, I don't know how any of these films are actually.
Well, you know,
how about this, right? Javier Bardem is getting leading actor nomination for Being the Ricardos. No idea. Andrew Garfield for Tick, Tick, Boom. Never heard of that. Denzel Washington for The Tragedy of Macbeth. Is Macbeth Black in that then?
Of course.
Is he?
Yeah.
Kenneth Branagh's Belfast gets, let's see, supporting actress for Judi Dench. Best director for Kenneth Branagh. I mean, you know.
But, you know, I haven't seen Belfast, but as I say, I've had a couple of bad reports. Although all the critics did rave about it. Always a bad sign.
Yeah, that's not good.
But I have seen Power of the Dog. Fucking most boring.
Well, I started watching it because I think it's on. Is it not on Netflix?
It's on Netflix, yeah.
And I literally spent about 3 minutes and I thought, this is shit. I literally couldn't watch anymore.
It gets worse.
Does it?
Yeah.
It's really long as well, isn't it?
It's an awful film.
Yeah.
Awful.
West Side Story, King Richard, which apparently is the story of, what's her face? Vanessa Williams? Not Vanessa Williams. Serena Williams.
Yeah, is it?
Vanessa Williams was the Miss America who was my first big story in America when I went over there. She was the one who...
She was a swimmer, wasn't she?
Vanessa Williams, no. She was the Miss America who had to be stripped of her title because it turned out there was a lot of nude pictures of her.
She was stripped before, you mean?
Well, indeed. Which I managed to find from this horrible fucking sleazy fucking photographer who, when she was young, had managed to convince her to get her fucking tits out.
Out
oh, fucking hell, yeah. It was my first piece for Star Magazine, which I didn't know was a Rupert Murdoch organisation magazine. And it was fucking brilliant. And it was one of those great stories. And then, of course, she went on to do the Penthouse Pictures because she realised she didn't have a fucking job anymore. So she went and did some proper porn. And that was the beginning of her new career. And then I think she turned into a singer. I think she became a singer after that.
Right.
Anyway, that's
so
much.
I'll tell you my big hit in America when I was there. I went up to some place up in Washington State near Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
And it was during the O.J. Simpson saga.
Oh, yeah.
And during it, the L.A.
What, the actual trial?
Yeah. The LAPD were accused of racism, of institutional racism.
No, you surprised me.
There was a cop called Mark Furman.
I remember him.
Who was in charge of one of the investigating officers.
Wasn't he the guy that was involved with the glove and all that?
He was the one who found the glove and it was like, well, this is the right glove.
Yeah,
as
he planted the glove,
So
I remember all that.
Anyway, I was asked to go up to Edinburgh, I think it was called, or something like that. It was this sort of fucking...
Edinburgh.
Little, really weird little town.
Yeah,
in the middle of this fir tree.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, something out
nice up there, though.
Just like Twin Peaks.
Right.
Just like that.
Okay.
So I got up there, and basically, I'm looking for any info on Mark Furman.
Mm.
And I go into the local bar, and they all look at me like, hey, what you doing here, boy?
Right.
and all this sort of stuff. Really fucking funny.
Do you know, I used to tell people when I would be in places like that, I was actually from New York, because they couldn't, they could not compute that you were from London. Yeah. You couldn't fucking, no clue about that.
Well, basically, I said, well, I've got a fair few thousand dollars in my pocket. I said, not actually, but figuratively, for anyone who's got any information, preferably pictures, from Mark Furman.
Right.
He was born there.
Right.
Where he was brought up. And they go, you get the fuck out of here, boy.
Right.
You get the fuck out of here, you fucking dirty tree. Get out of here.
All right.
So as I was leaving the bar, some bloke said, before you do, come with me.
There's always somebody.
We went down the street to his house. Yeah. He said, I went to school with him.
Right.
You're going to like this.
Did you get the old high school yearbook out?
No, I fucking go to his house. It was the high school play.
Right.
He was brilliant. He had blackface on.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic.
Fucking picture of him. Right. Looking like Al Jolson.
Oh, dear.
And I sold that for a lot of money.
I bet you did. I mean, we ended up in some weird places. I remember going to some fucking place somewhere in Tennessee, I think it was. And the photographer that we needed to find, who had a picture of somebody, was also the local police photographer, right? And he was the weirdest guy you've ever seen. He was straight out of fucking Silence of the Lambs, this bloke. And he's like, want to see something? And this was after we'd managed to get the pictures off him for whatever it was. We can't remember who it was we were doing a story on. Anyway, so he had all these fucking pictures, right, in an album. But they were all like accidents, like road accident pictures. And he was responsible for taking the pictures for the police, but he kept the prints. And it was like unbelievable stuff. It was like bodies cut in half, you know, legs missing, you know, torso fucking. Is, and he's like, this is one of my favourites. And it was a fucking torso, right, with no head. Oh. And it was fucking impaled on a fence, literally. Well, no legs, just a torso. And it apparently come out of a car. Fucking just straight out. The legs had stayed in the car. The fucking arms had come off. And the fucking torso had literally got stuck on these spikes on a fence. Ugh. And he's got the picture of it.
Yeah, no.
This was a bad one. I mean, yeah, no fucking shit, Sherlock.
America throws out surprises everywhere you go.
It really was fucking extraordinary. Anyway, I guess we've come to the end of another little podcasteruno. So I'll be back. Actually, as you listen to this, I should be hopefully in America.
Oh, yeah.
So I might have some more tales of the unexpected to bring you back. Because I don't really know what to expect when I get there, to be honest. I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm not going to go anywhere near New York because fucking New York seems to be fucked. New York seems to be fucked.
It's a fucked up city.
They're arresting people for going to dinner.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking having any of that, thanks. You know.
And you've got to fill out forms to go into a bar as well.
Yeah. So I'm told. And you have to, apparently, in some bars, I don't know if they're all doing it, you have to put a mask on. And even when you're drinking, you take it down to take a drink and then you put it back up.
Off.
I mean, really?
Fuck
has happened to America, land of the free.
Exactly.
Land of the fucking arseholes.
It's terrible.
It really is.
But anyway, you'll have a great time where you're going.
Yes.
Steer clear of Manhattan because of our golden memories of that great city.
I know. I think it will. Absolutely fucking right. Well, we'll see you next week. See you next time. Don't do anything fucking stupid.
And stay cool, cunts.
We are the Thought Police. I mean, we were just talking the other week, weren't we, about how it's now been admitted by a lot of these behavioural scientists that a lot of what they said was not actually necessarily true, but it was designed to make you want to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
So we've now admitted that.
So these great former 60s revolutionary counterculturists...
Right. Apparently Neil Young's a right cunt, by the way.
Neil Young and...
David Crosby said that.
Joni Mitchell. Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah, he said he was one of the most selfish fuckers that he'd ever met.
But you know, these used to be leaders of the counterculture, the revolution against the authorities.
Right.
And now they're saying, you must obey the government.
Free speech is only...
It's under threat.
It is definitely under threat.
Under threat.
But isn't it also kind of insidious that it's all part of this conversation about virtue signalling and lefties versus right-wingers, and if you're right-wing, apparently you're a cunt and you're a bastard and you don't care about anybody else, and that's why you don't wear a mask, and that's why you voted for Brexit, and that's why you're a fucking racist bigot, right? And that's the narrative that these people are coming from.
These cunts, they accuse, they go to a... You and your libertarian views. As if being libertarian is terrible.
Right.
What we're for. This is my politics are just this.
Mm.
That I stand for the power of the individual over the power of the state.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Unlike the people in Wales, who, according to Mark Drakeford, don't stand for that. But he says that they stand in Wales for collective responsibility.
Which is
he's like, not for individuality.
The subjugation of the individual to the needs of the state.
Yes.
That's the left-wing view.
It's fucking disgraceful what's going on.
Yeah.
Cunt.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.